Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse Podcast.
We discuss all things metaphysical, paranormal, and otherwise unexplainable.
We are a group of friends who are all on different stages of our spiritual journey and therefore have varying perspectives regarding the topics we will cover.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of other persons or groups we may be affiliated with, our sponsors, or producers.
Yeah, we're live, guys.
Hello, everybody see us?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse. This is our first time sort of podcasting live. As with everything else on the planet this year, we've had to sort of change up what we're trying to do because we're all social distancing, so we don't get to powwow around a small table together, which is part of why we kind of quit doing it, because it was fun to hang out together.
Yes, it was.
But we also miss getting together and just talking. So here we are. This is Jason.
Hi.
And Tristan.
Hey,
and
how's it going?
Carolyn. I think we're missing Amy tonight, which is a bummer, but she'll be back and join us again in the future.
Yes.
So I think tonight one of our primary topics was going to be spirit guides. Who they are and how to communicate with them and our own personal experiences. So if you guys are okay, I'm just going to read a little something that I found the other day, which I thought was a great sort of base of information.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So I was doing a little bit of research on this, and I came across this lady. Her name, which is awesome, by the way, her name is Yamali Yamuna.
Ooh, I like that.
She has put together a list of spirit guides that really resonated with me, and so I thought I would share that with you because it kind of organizes things and makes sense really well. So Yamali says that there are seven different forms of guides. And so the first one would be angels. They are the messengers of the divine. They are loving. They're non-judgmental. They're high vibrational. And they inspire the same in us. And then the second group is ancestors. And these can be family or friends that have gone beyond or before us, great-great-grandparents, people in our genetic DNA line that we've never even met, or even family or friends from other past lifetimes. They assist us with practical advice, healing family karma, uncovering inherited talents, and finding your spiritual group or your tribe. Mm-hmm. Group three is the Ascended Masters. These are people who once walked the earth as humans, and then they reached enlightenment and have left the reincarnation cycle. So they have great wisdom because they've been here and done this, and they help us to develop our spiritual gifts, connect with our higher selves, and develop compassion for fellow human beings. So some examples of ascended masters would be Jesus, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Buddha, Maitreya, Kuan Yin, and Melchizedek. Number four, the fourth group, is nature spirits. They're guardians of the planet Earth. They maintain environmental consciousness, and they help us in developing our manifesting skills. They help us stay playful and curious, and they help us be more aligned with Mother Nature. Then the fifth group are star beings, or what we would call aliens. They inhabit physical and non-physical dimensions of other planets. They're here to help us develop a cosmic consciousness, guide the evolution of humanity as a whole, and teach us about how to work with energies. Mm-hmm. And then group six are the animal guides. And Yamali explained this as they're not really the souls of individual animals that we've seen or had in our past lives or or previous in this life. They are actually the spirit of an entire species that comes to work with us. So they act as protectors and teachers. And their mission is to help us with our inner nature, our bodies, and our physical realm. And then the seventh group is the deities, the gods and goddesses of all the different pantheons. They command attention and devotion, and they teach us how to develop leadership skills, build a legacy, and step into your power. So you may be working with just one group, or you could be working with people or entities from a variety of different groups. But I thought that was a really well put together, quick little overview by Yamuna, which is just fun to say.
Say that 10 times fast. So right. I loved it. That's a beautiful name. Interesting to me is that a lot of the ones that you named, they're also card decks. So you have the Ascended Masters card decks, and even like animal spirit guides card decks, angels, decks, deities. So that's pretty interesting too.
So that's a great way to be able to connect with them.
Yep.
The different groups of guides.
Yeah.
And to be able to work with them more directly. Plus it helps you expand your knowledge of there's just so many. We're kind of raised just sort of knowing only about our own culture's subgroup of whatever.
Right.
All of those, but all over the world has groupings of these guides and deities.
Oh yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting about the animals. For me, when you said it was actually the whole species of animal. I mean, I've never heard that before. I found that super interesting.
It's kind of good, though, because when we're listening to Native American legends where they say brother beaver.
Oh, yeah. Brother beaver,
or whatever that is, when you find your spirit animal, it's really the embodiment of those characteristics of that animal that you're embracing.
Right. So that makes sense.
Yeah, they're kind of already doing that. But I haven't ever heard it like that until she said that.
Right. No, me too. For sure. That was very interesting. What animal do you think? Have you ever had an animal come to you?
Have you?
Well, I have a couple different animal guides that have come to me. I've always had cats around me. And it's not that I don't love dogs, because I've had dogs too, but really cats kind of end up in my perimeter a lot. I see hawks everywhere. I can't go anywhere without yelling, hawk on a pole, hawk on a pool, hawk on the ground, hawk here, hawk there. And he's like, just stop it already. Recently, my daughter pointed out to me that on a regular basis over the years, I'm like, this deer was on the side of the road.
Yes,
the deer. And I had to pull over, and I'm yelling at the deer to get away from the road because I don't want it to get hurt. So in my mind, I'm protecting the deer.
Right.
Mamas and babies by yelling at them to get away.
Right.
Even to the point of there's on my drive at night, there's an apple tree and the apples drop, the tree drops its apples on the road.
Right.
So when I'm working, sometimes I have to drive in the middle of the night and I'll be coming home at 3 a.m. and all of a sudden there's deer standing in the road
eating apples.
So I've pulled over in the middle of the night and kicked all these apples off of the road so they could still get to them. My daughter pointed out that deer are soft and gentle and loving, and here I am out here yelling and screaming at them. I'm not really getting the message from this particular animal spirit guide.
No, totally. Totally. I feel like...
And there are others.
I love deer. I feel connected to deer. Like I do. So when you actually said deer, that's an animal that to me, I feel like it kind of hits my soul. And also horses. Horses too. Horses are just really special to me. And I've always wanted a horse, but when I'm around them, it's just it feels like a spiritual connection.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And I'm drawn to ravens personally. A raven's never connected really with me so much, but I connect with them. Maybe it's because I'm Ravenclaw. I don't know. I could be.
They, prejudiced.
Ravenclaw. That's right.
I'm not numbered.
Have you had?
I don't think I've ever had animal energy that I recognize as spirit guides in my life. There's animals I've had affinity for, depending on where I was at a moment in my life. The shark has always been there.
Ooh, interesting.
And I don't know how that correlates with me. But it's always been there, or sea life in general. But wow. Never as a spirit, never as someone something I'd recognize as a spirit guide yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love that. I know you love the coast. I do too. But that's interesting that actually like sea life is, you know, really connected to you too. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, all of mine are land or air. I don't have sea things. Except for the octopus. I'm a little fascinated by the octopus, but I'm pretty sure it's an alien. So.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, just like a galaxy far, far away, just flip it down, go into the depths of the ocean, and that's a galaxy far, far away, too. I mean,
it is. It's a whole different world down there.
It really is. That's a whole nother topic.
How do you experience spirit guides in your life?
Yeah, so for me, I actually didn't experience spirit guides full knowing until I took the class with Seth Michael and Sharon Lewis, Aurora. Right. And it was at OGC, and it was their spirit guide class. And that was the very first time I connected with a spirit guide. And and so I did the meditation. It was like during that meditation, you know, and of course, like then it was like almost becoming a little wary, like, am I creating this person? You know, am I creating who I want my spirit guide to look like and stuff like that?
But in creating that image in your mind, you're attracting that energy. So even though you're doing that, you're still doing the right thing.
Right. So my very first spirit guide looked like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. And so I called him Gandalf, you know, and it was like, it was interesting because I feel like, because it was like meeting on a bench. I remember in this one particular, I was like sitting on a bench, and it was like, that's who came and sat next to me. It was like this Gandalf looking guy. And he didn't really say much. It was like very few words, but it wasn't even like he didn't even speak. It's like, I knew. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, I just knew what he was saying without him actually like opening his mouth. And so that was my first one. And then I had another one that didn't last very long. And that one, it was like a male kind of figure. And I feel like he was not Native American, but he almost looked tribal. Does that make sense? Like it wasn't like Native American type, but like maybe just an islander or something like that, kind of had that kind of feel. And then the third one I had, and I still feel like she's around me sometimes. It's just like this beautiful, like vibrant being. I feel it's a feminine energy. And it's like almost like kind of like just like red hair, but like almost just like glowing silver and like just colors just kind of coming out. So it's more of an energetic spirit energy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's when you describe that, I see that as being like a mermaid in water. And that's why flowing and stuff
Because it did have the flowing effect, so that's interesting. I didn't even think about that, but it was like, that's beautiful. Like that one, it's a very beautiful one. Like when I feel that, it's a very happy spirit guide and stuff like that.
Do you meet them in meditation and work with them for specific things, or
how
do you work with them?
So basically I really Gandalf's been my guy, so I really kind of sit with him a lot. That's usually when I'm trying to make decisions, like life decisions that are pretty serious, or asking for direction and stuff like that. And I just kind of sit there, and it's like, I just kind of like, you know, meditate, and I just listen. It's just really just getting to that place where, you know, everything else right there in that moment just doesn't exist. It's kind of just blanked out, and I'm just listening in just like this hollow space pretty much. And then I just let like the guidance kind of flow in. And then a lot of times, like I write that down, you know, and just keep that with me. And I'll draw cards and stuff like that. So I have like different decks. And so I'll kind of like, you know, and a lot of times, I mean, it's just like really coinciding with each other. I also have Jason, who is the most amazing tarot card reader in the world. And so, and then you're always in the world, seriously. So I have him. I'm serious. You're the best. So yeah, seriously. So, and then it's just like you have that confirmation. It's just a lot of confirmations and stuff. And then synchronicities happen a lot. with just like things I kind of hear. And then as far as like the bright being with her, it's like, I feel like she's more of like my dreamer. She's more of my visions, like the things I'm wanting to accomplish and wanting to do in my life. I feel like she's the one that kind of shows me like, here's where you can go and stuff. So
that's
perfect.
Yeah. Man, you're just doing all the things right.
I learned from the best. Hello.
So one of the things you said struck a chord in that it was described as you sit down and ask your guides or pray to your deities, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you're connecting with them. You're putting out that message that you want a connection, and then you're putting out your ask.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Or your wish.
Yeah.
But then you have
not your ask, your ask.
Your ask. Yes. You could put out
your ask.
Sometimes that comes out too.
It depends on what you need.
That's right. It's true. It's true.
But then the important part is to sit then and meditate and to be quiet so that you can use your senses, your hearing and your vision and your sense of feel and your sense of smell and that inner knowing to receive the messages when they do start coming in. And then it can also be in a series of all the things you described. It can be, it can start showing up in your day-to-day life in the synchronicities. Mm-hmm. It can show up in the raven feathers that start showing up in your path everywhere.
Yes.
The white feathers. It can show up in the numbers. I mean, tons of people on the planet are starting to see the 11-11 thing, and everybody's like, why is it 11-11 all the time? How is this
always
a thing? It's not just the two times, you know, during the day. It's starting to show up all over the place. 11-11 and 2-2-2 and 5-5-5.
Right.
People are starting to really start to pay attention to these things.
Yep, totally.
Also, like you said, the connection where you just download the information, just suddenly you have a pop-up of information that's like, I don't even have any reference for this, but that's a brilliant idea. Where did that come from? You know, that's an information download from your guides or even perhaps your higher self.
Right, right. Most definitely. I do pray to Jesus too. So that's another one. It's like when I'm thinking about the other ones, I met meditation, but it's like for me, I've prayed for as long as I can remember. But there is that connection there.
Yeah, he's an ascended master.
He's an ascended master. And so I pray to Jesus, and that's more of like a protection. I pray for protection a lot. And then I pray for, I pray for God's will. So that's another thing I do pray for too, is just kind of like, you know, I'm a big person, like where I like to manifest things, but I also know some things I might want maybe not be the best for me. So I do kind of pray like, hey, close that door. Maybe I'm asking for it, but maybe it's not the right thing. So close it if it's not right, open it wide open if it's the right thing. And that's happened in my life and it's been awesome.
Actually, Catholicism did a really great job in marrying the spirit guide, just the whole realm of spirit guides, by having a saint for each of the things that you're trying to work on in your life. Like you have one for animals, you have one for finding peace, you have one for that annoying itch on your back. There's a saint for that.
No. Right, yeah. But protection, but for sure,
What they're doing is they're giving you a name of a saint to pray to, so you're focusing your energy, and it's focused on that one thing that saint is in charge of.
Right.
So basically, you're focusing your energy and sending it out there and getting guidance through that. And so that's a perfect model for spirit guides.
Yeah, definitely. That's very true. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you stole my Gandalf too. He's been one of my spirit guides forever.
Oh,
and I call him Gandalf, or I'll call him Merlin, or I'll call him Dumbledore, whatever.
Dumbledore, I love it.
Archetype of that old wise man.
Yes, with the beard.
Or he's on top of the mountain.
Yes.
But he's always kind of been there in the shadows and been more of a watcher and making sure everything's going okay than actually communicating or doing things.
Yeah.
Two female guides, Eleanor and Talia, and one's more like a mother-like figure, one's more like a warrior.
Ooh, nice.
Figure.
Wow,
they're
cool.
They're the main guides that I work with. But that Gandalf is always there too. We could be sharing him.
We might be. I'm telling you, he's great, isn't he?
But first Gryffindor to Ravenclaw, Dumbledore has that archetype.
That's so true too. But it's funny when you said the Watcher though, that is a very much a big part of it with my Gandalf too. So basically, like, that's kind of how he started. Was at first I didn't hear anything, and so it was almost like a Watcher. He just like sat there. It was like almost kind of like this calming, almost grounding presence, right?
Yeah, this is the calm. Whenever I need that, that's the calming and grounding that I get.
Oh, wow. How cool. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. You guys probably are totally sharing some guy trekking back and forth between the houses all the time.
Hey, we listen to the same guy, the meditation guy, so.
Yeah, it's true.
We do.
As we found out in podcast, what, number 4?
I think so.
Kenneth. Who is this guy?
I'd like to meet him sometime.
Yeah. We get him on our podcast.
I know, right? That'd be amazing.
You know, he listens to us.
He's got to, I'm sure.
Who doesn't?
I mean, seriously. We have a couple people watching us now live on Facebook. So hello, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Hello, everybody.
Sorry.
Yeah. Actually, feel free to leave a comment, too, if you guys have questions or anything while we're doing this. That's why we went live tonight, too. So you can feel free to leave a comment and or just say hello.
We came back from COVID in March to come back on this day, Friday the 13th, 2020. Is very brave of us, I think.
Yeah, it is.
The teachers of our lives and continuing on now.
Yeah. Oh, we have a hello. Cassie York. Cassie York said hello. She has a little happy little, hey, Cassie. Oh, Cheyenne said hello, too.
Hi, Cheyenne.
Hi, Cheyenne. Awesome. See, we got some fans. Awesome.
So one of the other ways to connect with your spirit guides, which is kind of a big one, but it's not even something I sometimes think of, is dream time.
Yes.
When you go to sleep, you've checked out of your physical realm and are completely in tune with all the things that your guides want to tell you and places that you want to go and things you want to do. And it's kind of underutilized time for so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, they are busy doing things. They just don't realize it. They don't do the inner work to come back and really spend time knowing. Although for me personally, my dreams have always been very difficult to interpret. I'm not a good interpreter of my dreams. So.
Right.
A lot of it is it's working with your subconscious. So when you leave your body and go in the astral plane when you're sleeping, it's like you're going out. Okay, say you get up in the morning and you go to a place to work and you work there for 8 hours and you come back. So when our spirit comes to the physical realm, it's entering our body and it has like a 16-hour shift or however long we stay awake.
Yeah.
And during that 8 hours, we go back home and we recharge and we work on things, and then we come back into our bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But often we don't remember what we dreamt of. For the most part, we'll remember key elements that we're supposed to bring back in the physical realm. But I think most of that is supposed to stay up there because it's mostly inner work. You're mostly working on your physical self from the astral plane.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. For me, I do remember a lot of my dreams, but I know I'm not remembering the deep ones, you know? So it's like, I usually remember the one right before I wake up, you know? And I was, actually, speaking of COVID, I had a question. Have you noticed like your dreams changing a lot this year? Because I have.
I've noticed that I've actually been able to remember some of them because I didn't traditionally remember any of them at all. So I started keeping a dream journal this year.
Wow,
So I could add it to my list of synchronicities and, try to figure out, is this something I'm working on? I'm just glad that this year hasn't been full of overflowing toilets because that's usually the only thing I remember.
I used to have a toilet dreams,
too. There's a dead plumber in the astral realm. They can't keep the plumbing working. And they keep messing up my locker at school, too.
You have school ones, too? I'm in high school, like, all the time. It's kind of crazy. I can't leave. It's kind of weird.
I may be stuck in the bathroom at school.
Oh, my gosh.
There's nothing but a bathroom with no stall walls or doors.
Oh, yeah. There's a meaning for that. Like, I remember, it's funny because I felt like when I actually dug deeper and went into dream interpretation and figured out what the bathroom one was, because mine was strange. I was having ones where it was the overflowing toilet. I was in the middle of, a lot of times it was like a room full of toilets and they were dirty. They were so nasty.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Disgusting toilets. And I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. I don't know where to go. And then it was like, something
about... It's like you're Gandalf and we share toilets.
I know, right? That's crazy.
We all share toilets.
Wow.
You do too?
The stalls' doors are only waist high.
You have stall doors? That's
nice. Oh, no. I have some toilets, though, that it has stairs. You actually kind of climb up to the toilet. You still don't want to use that one, though. It's weird. But to me, it was like... talking about there might have been something kind of hidden within yourself that you didn't want like exposed, that you thought was something shameful or you're guilty of.
Right.
And so as soon as I knew what that was, I stopped having those dreams. I haven't had one in forever. It's crazy. Like as soon as I understood that dream.
Nice.
And
so,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But for me, my dreams since COVID, actually I've had a lot of nightmares and I'm not a nightmare person, but I've actually had quite a few. I have a lot of dreams where people are trying to kill me this year. Huh? So thanks, 2020.
They're trying to kill us this year.
Right. Oh, goodness.
Hornets and the
murder hornets turned out to be a lot more disappointing than I wanted.
There's a whole new thing with the murder hornets where they found like
a nest
that was all full of queens.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, are you serious?
Go everywhere. Oh, it's terrible.
Was it like the queen having like a ball or something? I mean, what were they all doing in the same hive?
They're planning their takeover.
Yep. I think it was a coup. Wow. It was yet another coup.
That's insane. I got to say, from Facebook real quick, Cassie said that she was having actually dreams about the fires a week before they hit. So that's interesting.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. About, that is
because sometimes your dreams will do that to kind of prepare you for something coming up.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
I wonder if Cassie was affected by the fires.
Where they live.
Yeah, tell us, Cassie.
Yeah, it's Cassie. Go ahead. Let us know if you were affected by the fires at all. That is very interesting because I've heard a lot of people that have had these dreams that they have like predicted certain things like world disasters, even school shootings and different stuff like that. Like they've had these dreams or visions.
Which is tough because, I mean, how do you act on that? What do you do with that information?
Well, when you're actually faced with a crisis and you've already been there before in your dreams or on the astral plane you've kind of, not only, you've rehearsed it, you've created a space for yourself to work with it. So in between action and response, you created a little bit of space to where, okay, I've been here before. This is take two. What did I learn from last time? Or maybe it just calms your presence knowing that, okay, I've been through this before and I made it out. I don't know. Or it just makes it so you can work as a calm person to maybe calm other people down.
Hmm. Right. I got an answer.
Does she answer?
Yeah, she said she goes that they were only less than 3 miles from the fire and they had to evacuate. Looks like maybe evacuate maybe for 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Something like that. Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, that was like a preparing her dream. Wow. How interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Spirit guides can work with you.
Yeah, for sure.
To help prepare you for things coming up.
Yep.
That's another thing with the numbers. It's kind of every time you see the same number again, pay attention to where you are at the moment or how you're feeling at the moment, because maybe that's what's triggering it. Maybe your spirit guides are, every time you get impatient, your spirit guides show you 1111 somewhere.
Yep.
And you start to make that connection, and then all of a sudden you're communicating with your spirit guides, like, this is something that I need to work on.
Right. Mine's 113. That's my number, 113, and it's since my 20s, and I will see it all the time, and it's kind of funny. I just look down and realize, it's 11:13, but then I just saw 113 in the date today. But
have a lot of 113s.
Yeah, there are, and so it's like.
Okay, so have you ever noticed a commonality when you see 113? What's going on, or where you are, or?
Yeah, I always feel like in that moment, it's like, I feel like when I see that number, it's letting me know that what I'm doing right then is the right path. Like, it's letting me know, like, you're on track. That's what I feel like when I see that number, like, okay, this is right.
That's how I take that.
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah. And you can also look it up in numerology. Those numbers actually have their own meanings, but that doesn't even matter. The number could be totally random. And if you see that pattern, that's a private communication between you and a higher deity, your higher self, or your spirit guides. Right. It doesn't have to be a special number that has to mean anything. You shouldn't have to look it up to find out how you're communicating with your spirit guides.
Right.
But you can, and that information is out there. And then once you have that information, your spirit guides or higher self know that, and then they can speak to you in that language.
Right. No, totally.
That information.
Plus some numbers just have their own sort of harmonic vibration, their own frequency. So there is something in the looking it up and finding out, or even coming up with your own version of what that means, if you can meditate on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So quickly going back to just the dreams, just a little side note, since it is difficult for a lot of people to remember their dreams, if you just simply set the intention that you want to start remembering your dreams, and do keep a dream journal, just a notepad and paper by your bed, so that when you wake up, you just jot down as much as you can quickly before you do lose it. Because any little thing, I mean, I know that as soon as I look over at the clock or turn on the light, I just start losing bits and pieces, and then it's gone really quickly. So
right, that's happened. It's actually psychological. My mom told me about it. She had heard like where a doctor said that when you do actually like move your head to get up, like they said, it's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch where it like just starts shaking. Like where it's like as like that slowly, like how it disappears. And they said, that's what happens with your dreams. I use my phone. I grab my phone and talk to it, because instead of having to write down, I just grab my phone. I go to write to the recorder. And I just say, yeah, I am a tech guy. I'm a tech guy that always has problems with technology. So
that's your light battle.
That's really a great idea, though, because it would be a lot easier sometimes to just say it out loud very quickly, just explain what happened, than try to write it down, because obviously it's going to take longer.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. It's helped a lot. And then I just email it to myself a lot of times. There's like the file, and then I just have like the dreams. And so I could just like pop it up. Nice. Listen to them and stuff like that. But yeah, there's been some crazy ones this year, I have to say. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Have you had anything that stood out to you in the way of dreams?
I normally have lucid dreams. And so the only thing that's changed, and it's not just from COVID, I guess it's from the political climate, everything else, stress and anxiety is way up. And so sometimes that causes anxiety dreams.
Yeah,
I have dreams now just like you, where people are. In fact, I was killed twice last night.
Oh my God.
The first one, I was on an airship, and I say an airship not to say like dredgeable or anything like that.
Right.
It was a ship that was floating in the air.
Yeah.
It sounds like
it was a mode of transportation. I was on a cruise and it was in the air.
Wow.
And instead of tilting forward like supposedly it was supposed to be, it was tilting backwards, and that was a really bad sign, we were told. Yeah. And
we had to go to the
rescue boats, which I don't know. Hopefully they floated.
I hope so too.
Anyway, so it cracks and it's falling down and it crashes. Ooh. And all of a sudden I'm in like paradise.
Wow.
So I didn't even experience of death. I'm already in spirit room and I'm stuck in this. It's still the ship. But if you look outside, we crashed in the ocean. You can still see the splashes frozen in the air as if time just stopped. And now I'm living with all these people in the ship. So that was the first dream.
Well, that's weird.
I got to interject real quick. You are the first person I've ever heard that has died in their dream.
Hey, no, I had to stop feel action.
They kind of skipped the pain part and went straight to the paradise part.
I mean,
the other side part.
So the paradise part is living in a crashed ship with a bunch of people and
so that's not paradise.
No, but doesn't that make you think of spirits, though? I mean, a lot of times spirits are where they are, especially if there was a tragic event, they linger there. And so
we knew we were spirits at the moment. We knew we had died.
Wow.
And we could just look out the window and see that things weren't right.
Wow. And you were just stuck in that moment. So everything was frozen, actually. So you were existing, but it was like, wow, that's fascinating. That's
so the physical realm was frozen, but we existed. So that moment in time was set aside just for us. It's passed for everyone else. That water came down and crashed back to the earth and all that, but it just stayed at that moment in time.
Oh, I got like goosebumpies.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting take on actually the ghost hunting and the how it applies to
maybe they experience something similar events. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially in tragic events.
Oh, yeah.
Where everyone's just shocked. First they're alive and now they're not.
Right, exactly.
No, process that.
I just, for some reason, the way you described your dream, I feel like that is how it probably is a lot of times, especially if there is something that's just so sudden death, you know, like you probably wouldn't even feel the pain and then there you are. And so it was like, I feel like you literally had that experience in your dream, and that's amazing to me.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's very lucid too. I actually felt I was there and could act within the dream.
Wow.
It was kind of cool. The second one wasn't as... It involved a toilet again. I was hiding in the toilet. I had closed the stall door, and there's some guy running down shooting things. And I woke up dead.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I didn't feel the pain again of the bullets. I just was there and watching my dead body.
Well, you're Friday the 13th. It's a little weird.
It didn't start out great.
It's a little strange.
I'm telling you, though, that's amazing. You didn't just die once in a dream. You died twice in a dream in the same night.
Just last night. This was just last
night. This morning.
Oh, my God. So I got to tell you something, Jason, like, especially you, because you're going to get a kick out of this. So the other night, I had this guy that was just chasing me, trying to kill me, and all of a sudden he turns into Prince, the singer. I swear to God, and I'm like looking at him, I'm like, I'm really a big fan, like, please don't kill me, you know? And then all of a sudden I started singing, and it was like, my voice was like amazing in my dream, and then all of a sudden he like just...
He didn't kill you then.
He didn't kill me, and he didn't kill me.
Yeah.
It was really weird. I don't know what that dream meant, but, you know.
Show him this rock that's painted.
Seth, our friend Seth Michael, can you see that?
Yes, I love it. Yeah. Oh my God, that's great. It's Alien Prince.
We like aliens, and I love Prince, and so he made us this rock.
But here's my rock by Seth Michael.
Oh, the raven.
Oh,
it's
nice.
A raven.
And next to, what's the, is that Ankh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And it looks like a whole like galaxy in there and stuff. It's really amazing.
Yeah, that is awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Seth.
Man, he gets
thanks, Seth. Sometimes. Rocks by Seth. Hair by Jill. Rocks by Seth.
He's a rock star.
Everybody do.
He's a rock star. That's right. He's a rock star.
Here's one of my shirts, by the way.
So, ooh, I like that.
I've got a SeaWorld.
That's cool. I like that.
A little stone shark.
That's awesome. I love that you have like the little things too. But yeah, that's my little raven I have there. My other ravens are in my bedroom. I have a lot of raisins in there. Amy bought me a big one too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more shirt.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
You can sing the baby shark.
Oh, song. That one's beautiful. Is that glass? Like a glass balloon shark? Oh wow. I love that one. That's beautiful. That's awesome.
At the Sea Lion Caves?
SeaWorld.
No, that was Sea Lion Caves. This was
Sea nice. World. That's awesome.
That's right.
I feel like that's such an interesting like mammal. You know, well, not mammal. I guess that's an aquatic animal. What is it?
Predator.
Shark. What is it?
Shark is fish.
Fish. A fish. Isn't it? Don't they have like some name? I'm not gonna.
They have a scientific name.
Right, scientific name.
It's instead of being like mammals, like whales and seals and or porpoises, mammals.
Mammals are like, yeah, like animals on the earth, I think, right?
Well, except for whales. Whales are mammals. They're sea mammals.
Really? Okay. So maybe it's just like aquatic life. I don't know.
The Langley branch. A shark is a fish. But because it's made out of cartilage instead of bones like other fish, it's subclassified as an elasmobranch.
Mine's made out of glass.
That was exactly the word I was looking for.
Elasmobranch.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that in my life.
That word just slipped my mind.
It's 10-10, speaking of numbers.
Ooh, nice. 10-10. It's 10-10 right now, everybody.
So 10 is the number of completion. So we've completed something twice.
Yes, we have. Well, we did talk about sharks twice. So. There you go, full circle.
That's why we got that number. The spirit guide just saying, stop talking about sharks.
Enough!
Oh, goodness. So, Carolyn, I don't feel like I heard about your spirit guides. Carolyn, do you have any spirit guides?
So, Jason has, like, an entire group of handlers. He has, like, the Knights of the Round Table most of the time. And I've basically...
Not literally the Knights of the Round.
But just as many. So he walks into a room, and it's, like, crowded with...
Wow. Got, like, a party going on.
I'm very troubled.
Takes a lot to rein this guy in. So for me, it's been interesting in my connection to my spirit guides because there's things that I connected with that didn't really make sense in my life. Like the first time I ever went to a powwow, I was 5. Mm-hmm. I was raised by Midwestern farmer folk. You know, who we lived in a motel in Colorado. They own the motel. So to step into this Native American powwow, I was instantly like sucked in, like, these are my people. These are people who have like an identifiable heritage, an identifiable style, and they identify with the earth. And those are all things that were so completely foreign to whatever it is my mixed up and yet homogenous culture is, this American culture, I don't know, that I connected with the Native American culture very early on. And while, I mean, I've done my own genealogy research and I know that I have Native American way back, mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that they're not there. Right. In my line, but they're not anywhere close. So most people, you know, you would think, it's just my imagination. It's just my imagination. But eventually I had a lady that I trusted very much kind of go through some things. And I think I've told you about this before where she connected with all the things that I have accumulated. Like I have a room in our house that's decorated in all Egyptian and she's never seen it. She didn't know about it. I wasn't thinking about it at the time we were talking remotely like this. Mm-hmm. She'd never been here. As a matter of fact, it was only the second time I'd ever spoken to her in my life, but she knew that I had multiple past lives in Egypt and that would explain why I had this weird random connection to Egypt. But she also told me my guides that had been with me for a very, very long time, most all of this lifetime but previous lifetimes, was a Native American spirit. His name's One Run.
Cool.
Also, and you were there for getting my second spirit guide that I really kind of jived with. The very first time I was ever really able to pick out something in a store on my own that I was going to decorate my own room with and wasn't just a hodgepodge of all the hand-me-downs from the family.
Yeah.
Was a dragon calendar of all things. And I was very connected to dragons and I always then got dragons and dragon statuary. And on my car, literally, I never put bumper stickers or any identifying signs on my car. The only thing I had in my car for more than 10 years until I got broken when the windshield was getting changed.
Yeah.
A glass dragon that was red and went into black. And there was one time that you were hosting a drum circle.
Yes.
At our Vision Collective Studios.
Yeah.
And we met a shaman yeah. that night, Bill. who went through and sort of once we were kind of done with the drum circle, he went through and talked to us all about our individual spirit guides. And
yes, I totally remember that.
Your guide has actually been pestering me for a couple days now, and I couldn't figure out who the heck it was. And he said it was this giant black galactic dragon, and pretty sure he said his name was Drokar, because that's what I've had stuck in my head ever since then.
Wow, that's amazing.
So on my altar, Jason has sharks everywhere, and I have dragons.
Now, wasn't yours a white buffalo, Jason, that night?
Yes, you're right. Memory. Wow. Yeah.
I remember that. I don't remember mine. I think I was disappointed by mine. So I think mine was like a chipmunk or something. I don't remember.
Well, we can see that, right?
Yeah, we can. We can. We can. Actually, my mom's nickname for me was Chipmunk. I don't know why. So I don't know. But yeah,
I remember the white buffalo magnet too.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. But I remember that because I remember like white buffalo. I was like, wow, I love buffalo. And then the black dragon, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, you guys like, yeah, like I'm like, guess we got spirit animals right there.
Sometimes the animal, the spirit animal comes when you resonate with that energy or you need that energy. That animal will appear. You have maybe some that lifetime, like for me, sharks, for you, ravens, for her, hawks, dragons.
Yeah.
But you have some come in your life, and the white buffalo came into my life when I needed to bear down and move forward with something, and I wasn't doing it. And so that was kind of cool. He said that, and so that really resonated that night. So for a while, it was. For a while, I needed to slow down, and Turtle came to me.
Awesome. And
so I came that, you know, or I kept that just to remember that.
That's awesome. You know, that's a good thing for us to talk about now is actually about spirit guides coming and going out of our lives. Like you have some that are constants, but there's actually there's special seasons and timings for spirit guides.
Yep. From what I understand, everybody is assigned kind of at least one when you come across into human form. You just like always have somebody who's just, you know, our human lives are really kind of just the blink of an eye. So for them, this is really nothing to have to babysit us for, you know, the blink of a cosmic eye.
Right.
But then other ones, as we're working on things and going through relationship issues and growing pains and educational issues and family dramas and friend things and marriages and divorces and deaths and births and all those things.
Right.
You have different guides that will come in and out to try and either teach you lessons or just help you sort of soothe you through things or, you know, don't do this again. How many times are you going to keep doing this?
Right.
You're going to keep seeing this until you learn this lesson.
That's so true. So true. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I do believe they definitely come for seasons and stuff. I mean, like that one I had, I felt like that was like very short lived. The one that was like tribal looking, that was, you know, I never really felt a connection except for like that one day, you know? So I don't know. I could have been me too. Cause I know sometimes like, you know, there's also some, actually this is another good thing we should talk about is how you have to be really careful when you select a spirit guide, because some of them can maybe not be the best for you. And you have to ask them like, are you here for my greatest good?
True.
Right. Right. Oh. Especially if you're seeking, if you're physically speaking.
If you're seeking.
Speaking. You're physically speaking.
What I mean to say? Physically
seeking.
Speaking. And then speaking, it all goes together.
Speaking and speaking.
I love it. That's right.
If you're seeking the spirit guide, you're opening up a spiritual channel, and you're allowing something to come through that wasn't there before, right?
Right.
And so anybody can come knocking on your door. So you're right. You have to interview them. You have to ask, are you here for my highest, greatest good? Right. What are you here to teach me? What can you, you know, how is this going to work?
Right.
Instead of just allowing anything that just comes by, you just sense something and you allow it in, hoping it's from spirit or thinking it's from for your highest good. But there's so much out there. It's not just all light. It's, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I want to say, like with Sharon Lewis Aurora, she had, I want to say, three questions. And I know one of them was like, are you here for my highest, greatest good? And another one was also like, for like the world, even like the universe, like, are you here for the highest, greatest good for like humanity? Even it was like, that's even going beyond.
Because it may be good for you, but may not be good for others. And we can all think of people who do things that are just good for them, and we know it's not good for everybody, right?
Right.
That's a great question to ask.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Yeah, that is a good thing.
For being. Instead of like an ascended master, maybe if you're working with a star being, it might be even more important.
That's true. It's very true. But yeah, and that's a good thing that, people can know. It's like you have the choice whether to welcome the spirit guide to be your spirit guide or not. So if you feel uncomfortable in any way, you can say like, no, absolutely. Sorry, but you're not for me,
Well, everything's vibration. Sometimes the vibration just isn't right. It's not the right vibration at the right time.
If you feel it wrong, then you back out. Then you
leave. You just say no.
Right.
Yep.
Just say no.
I like it. But if it's Gandalf, you're all good. Say yes to Gandalf.
Always say yes to Gandalf. You want to go on an adventure? Yes, Gandalf, I do.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely, I do.
For sure. Oh, my gosh.
So I did write down a list of signs that your spirit guides are trying to communicate with you, because sometimes it's just not quite so obvious, and you have to piece together all the little bits and pieces. So we kind of talked about the numerology, like the 1111 and 444, things like that, like the year 113, mine's 1125. I also see 1111 and 1212 a lot.
Yeah, I see 1111 a lot too.
I see 711 a lot.
Oh, wow. I bet you do. Is that like the big slurp or something?
I used to work part-time there as an extra job. But that's not why I see it all the time. I've always seen that number.
Yeah.
Cheyenne was seven, and she's still watching?
I don't know. Cheyenne, are you still on there?
She was 7 pounds, 11 ounces when she was born.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
So 7-Eleven has always popped up somewhere. So Slurpees, my daughter, that's...
It all goes hand in hand. Oh, she said yes. She's still on.
Okay.
I'm gonna start calling her 7-Eleven. So.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding, Cheyenne.
So another thing is that not to ignore coincidences. Not everything is a coincidence. Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Vivid dreams, which we've kind of touched on, and visions in your meditations, you might get more information there. Your senses might be sharper and more enhanced, especially if you're doing some breathing techniques or some meditation techniques where you're going more inward, and you close your eyes, that's a whole 20% of your outward information is now the vision is out, so now your hearing is more enhanced, your sense of touch is more enhanced.
Right.
Random electrical interferences. And if it's the radio, pay attention to what's playing on the radio. All of a sudden you hear one of those songs. Or maybe all of a sudden the music stops abruptly and you have to take note then. And then when it comes back on, it's like, oh, what is playing now? That's interesting.
That's the story of my life. As soon as you said that one, I have a lot of like electronic issues. It's crazy. So yeah.
Yeah, it often goes hand in hand with the kind of work we do.
Yeah, it does. Agreed.
The work in general.
Just please leave my computers alone.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
higher levels of intuition, like telepathic voices and gut feelings.
Oh, yeah.
know in your gut that this is right, or you just get that information in your head and you don't even question the information. Yeah. You just know it's just right.
Oh yeah.
Spiritual chills, not really like a normal shiver, but like a humming or a vibration through your body.
Right. Me too.
Whenever I connect with spirit, I always know the moment of connection because there's a warm glowing vibration that goes over my head and shoulders.
That's amazing.
And it stays there for, it's like a cosmic hug kind of, just to let you know I'm here. I am listening.
No, totally.
We can work on this, you know?
For me, it's like, it's just like this peaceful, and it is like a blanket. And the hug, I think, is perfect. I just feel like really warm, and I feel like I'm just kind of like, my whole body's almost like enveloped, like just kind of held. And there is like this, like, it's like a, just a very low, like, almost like a buzzing, but like,
yeah,
you know, that's how I feel. Yeah. And then I just feel at that moment, it's like, I feel like I can't open my eyes almost if I wanted to. And I just feel like I'm just like, it just like my body's just still.
Wow.
So yeah, I love that feeling. That's the best feeling ever. When we went to the coast that time, I felt like that. Huh?
It lets you know you're connected.
Yeah.
If you don't get that, it's, you kind of have to just trust that you are.
Oh yeah.
But it's also to have something extra to let you know that you're plugged in.
Oh yeah. To me, that's the best feeling. It's like the most relaxed feeling. And I remember when you and I went to the coast that time together, Jason, I felt that. There was like this one moment where I just like, it was just like, whoosh, you know, and it's just, yeah, that was a beautiful day. We got to do that again sometime, whenever we can.
Yeah. Please do. I'll have to look here and I have to look at my tsunami maps.
Oh goodness.
By the ocean.
Talk about tsunamis next show.
Another thing is sudden special scents. Smells that bring up memories of places and people and things. And I'll get this one in particular every so often that reminds me of my grandparents' house. Not this house. Not this house. My other grandparents.
This smells familiar.
I don't know why. You think I smell this every day or something?
So familiar.
What are my guys trying to tell me?
No. It's in my childhood, walking into my other grandparents' house, you know, my grandma would be cooking something in the kitchen, and it just the whole smell took over the house, and it always, every so often, I'll encounter that exact smell. And I'm not walking through anybody's place. I'm not in a restaurant. I'm not cooking anything. But all of a sudden, that smell just comes completely alive in my head, like I just walked into that space again. It's interesting to have a smell come
right.
Like
yeah.
That.
Wow.
That's a powerful way that they do communicate. And
yeah.
You can really tell that you're in that space when it's a smell that has nothing to do with where you are. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden you get a whiff of this cigar smoke that maybe your grandpa used to smoke.
Right.
Or perfume that your grandma used to wear.
The roses.
Or it doesn't have to be grandparents. It could be, you know,
other people.
Or
other people
it could be
that
other...
aren't grandparents.
Yeah.
No, totally. We had that happen. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, earlier this year, maybe last year. It's all running together this year, right? But Amy and I, we walked home one night and neither of us smoke. And all of a sudden we walked in the door and I'm just like, oh my God, it's like, it smells, it's like someone just like smoked a pack of cigarettes in our house. And it was freaky, you know? So I'm like going all around. I'm like looking, making sure. I'm like, who's in our house smoking? Like, what's going on? I go out. I go outside of the house and there's no smoke smell anywhere on the outdoors, anywhere. Like, it wasn't like something that was like coming in, you know, no neighbors having some party or anything. And it was just like when you first walked in the foyer, like area, and like the living room, and it was just so strong. It was just, and then we were just like, yeah, that's definitely like a spirit, you know, coming through or whatever. I didn't.
Someone that doesn't care about smoking in houses?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like somebody
that
just
was
came
my
in.
Family.
They're like, I'm here.
Her family.
I must have been over visiting him.
Oh, we could have left them there.
Right.
Maybe my grandma was just there washing dishes or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe. You never know. You never know. But yeah, Amy smells things. She's really big on that. That was one time I smelled something pretty strong. Usually I not so much, but like the other day in our nursery, she smelled just very strong perfume. And it was interesting because I don't know if that was right after or before, but this was maybe off topic for a second, but it's a cool story. And so I was looking at the baby monitor. I'm watching it. It's in our bedroom and it has a little bit of sound, right? And so, you know, Zach's asleep in his nursery bed and he's, you know, all fine. And then he kind of started crying a little bit. And all of a sudden I heard on the video monitor, I just hear, someone like shushing him. There ain't no one up there. I got like the whole like goosebump feel. I was just like, and then if like, you know, I'm trying to think, I'm like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I just, maybe he did that. Like I literally, I was like, maybe he shushed, you know, maybe he shushed.
Daisy up there or?
No, I mean, it was literally like, it just sounded like, it sounded like a female just going, shh. Wow. Like it's just soothing, like nothing, you know. It was like a comforting kind of.
You didn't feel anything malicious. You felt comforted, right?
Yeah. It was not. But it was like to me, I was just like, okay, that was something, you know. I'm trying to get, you know, trying to like say, oh, maybe it's nothing. And then I want to say it was after. Then Amy was like, I smelled like this really strong, like, you know, woman's perfume, you know, and smelled like, and she said it kind of smelled like her nana, what her nana used to wear and stuff like that. And then Stephen Carey actually. We needed to have like a little like nursery glider chair, and Steve actually gave us the one that belonged to his mother, and the perfume that Amy's nana used to wear, his mom wore.
Interesting.
And that was her chair in there. And what was interesting is like when I moved the chair upstairs, like this little picture of her like fell out of the chair and landed like on the floor, and I picked it up and gave it to Steve, and he was just like, "Well, that's weird. I've never even seen that in the chair before." So I'm wondering if maybe her spirit's kind of like in there with the baby.
I think a lot of things happened there.
Yeah.
For example, you could say that, oh, well, Amy smelled that because his mom wore the same perfume.
Right.
But how many things had to come together that you would get that bed? How many people would you have to meet in places where you had to move to that would happen?
Right. That's so true.
You can't discount it just because it can be explained. In fact, most things can be explained.
Right.
But what was the spiritual component of it? Mm-hmm. What did I take from it? If you got a spiritual message from somebody, something that could be totally explained, that's just as valid as getting it from anything else. That's just as valid as getting an omen or seeing a number or anything else.
That's very true.
Just because you can explain it away, don't discount it as meaning something.
Oh yeah, no, completely.
Or you have houses now full of ghosts. So
I always do.
That too.
It happens. I mean, you know, it's all good. It's a nice one though. So yeah, it's definitely like a spirit that feels fine. You know, it's just, it felt like more of like just a really nice feminine energy, you know, protection, just comforting.
Nice.
And then that smoker, I don't know. I haven't smelled it since, so maybe it's just some dude like smoking through, you know, just like, hey, nice place. Left.
Ask Steven if his mom smoked in the house.
I know. It was, that happened like way before, though.
In the bed?
Yeah,
the
baby glider bed.
Yeah. Yeah. The smoking thing was like, it was pretty far before that. I have no idea where that one came from. You just never know. It's interesting. But yeah. I always wonder about people who don't know anything really about spirits, or they really discount that. And they're just kind of like, I mean, I think about what goes through their head at times, though. It's like, well, what's that smell, Bertha? I don't know, honey. It's like,
well, that's probably as much thought as they put into it.
That's about it.
Watching TV, I guess.
Right? Exactly.
Smelling like that.
I know. You said you quit.
Not that air freshener.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Here.
I've got a couple more. Phantom touches, just like a touch on the shoulder or feeling your hair move. Or
that happens to her a lot.
Ooh.
I think that's the only way her spirit guides know how to communicate.
It's by ridiculous. Poking her in the head. They're so mean.
Oh, are you serious? Like they lit it, like you feel like a poke in the head?
Oh yeah. I've got thumps on the head, I get pokes all over my body, really. It's like I don't know what you're trying to say to me. This doesn't help me at all. If you could just write me an email or something and
I think that's so interesting, seriously, because I've only felt touched once, and that was actually, I was with Seth and Jill, and I felt like literally like my shirt in the back got like tugged, and I've never felt.
It wasn't Seth or Jill.
What? No, they were ahead of me. They were ahead of me.
Wasn't that a seaside?
No, that was actually at the Grant House. We were in the field. Yeah, right. And I actually was like, that's when I first started being able to see spirits for the first time. Like, it was like, well, I had been a little bit. It was the first time I vocalized it, and it was very interesting. And that's actually in that moment when I got tugged, if you remember that photo of me where basically like my hands out and like Seth's hands out, and he was trying to teach me like to feel the energy of the spirit. And then there's like this huge bright light just coming out from our hands. That was that moment.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've never been touched again.
Photo, right?
Huh?
Did Jill take that photo?
Yeah.
She catches so many things on film.
It is amazing. Literally so many times. Jill and I have stood seriously shoulder to shoulder, taken the exact same picture, and my picture will have nothing in it that wasn't physically directly in front of me. And her photo, you'll start blowing it up and there's just tons of things in it. It's like being a spirit photographer is just like a given gift for her. It's amazing.
Wow, that's amazing.
The lens is clean, just so you know. It's not that she has a dirty lens.
No, no, totally. Because, I mean, it's very specific things that are happening in the image. I mean, you can't mistake it for anything.
It interacts with the people in the picture, just like you and the ray of light when you catch it at the moment.
It was amazing.
And so do you think that touch, that tug you got, was maybe tearing away a veil that then allowed you to see spirit?
Oh.
I don't know. It was like, it felt like, because it was my shirt hanging out. I had a jacket on, and it was my shirt hanging out even from below my jacket. It was like someone grabbed my shirt and just yanked it.
Okay.
It was like, I'm getting your attention. Hey, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like it was crazy. I was like, Seth, I was like, literally somebody like just like yanked on the back of my shirt, and it was crazy. And I've never really felt touched before. I've never really felt touched after, like, to my knowledge, you know, that it was that significant. But that was a very interesting thing, and a lot of it could be because, like, I probably put out that vibe, like, you know, don't touch me.
can't touch this.
You know, I probably don't welcome touch too much because I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm good. I got my personal bubble, you know. We can communicate this way and stuff, but being touched sometimes, especially if it took me off guard, I think it'd just be like, I don't, like, how you're getting poked and stuff. I'd be like, come on now. Come on now.
Stop it. Yeah. I've had a couple things happen recently. And so I don't know that these are particularly spirit guides. I think these might just be paranormal experiences that aren't a guide.
Right.
Which makes this a sidestep in the conversation, but a couple months ago, I was at work, and at work, all my hair is in a contained hat, and, you know, I have a mask on, a contained hat, and I wear a whole lead jacket and skirt. I mean, I'm pretty well covered, except for right here, and even that, I often have glasses on.
Right.
So I was standing.
The skirt's lead too. She's not wearing a skirt with her.
Just a skirt.
It's not a fashion statement. It's also lead protection.
So I was standing up against a wall. I mean, I really only had a couple inches to the wall, and yet I could feel somebody playing with my hair in my hat. And I'm turning around, looking all over the place around behind me, and I'm feeling my hair moving around inside my hat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, what am I supposed to do with that? I don't know what to do with that. That's just concerning. Because that's me in the middle of this situation. I'm looking around all over the place. I'm like, what's going on? Who's touching me? And there's nobody could have possibly been touching me at all.
Inside the hat.
Yeah. Yeah, inside the hat.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just against the wall. And so there was nobody could have been behind me, around me, or anything. And then a few weeks ago, I was sitting and it felt like somebody drug a finger all the way up the bottom side of my leg under the couch. Only one side.
Whoa.
Just the one side. So needless to say, I got up and smudged everything in the house.
Yep.
Smudged the whole house, but spent a couple days cleaning, cleansing, smudging. But That was particularly strange because it was only one side of my body under the couch that I was, you know, through the couch that I was sitting on. So
my gosh, that's crazy.
I don't like it.
I've got smudge spray even so before bed. I'm just like, you know.
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I remember. Oh, I love it. Oh, nice. I love it.
And white sage.
Nice. Yeah, one time I walked up to Amy and I was like, shh, shh. She didn't like that so much. She's like, give me the look. I was like, you just need a little bit of smudge.
I'm going to get some holy water at you before we head in the bedroom, okay? We may or may not play that game once in a while. I don't know.
Love it. That's so funny.
From the phantom touches because it is creepy.
Ooh, that is creepy.
Music, and we kind of touched on that. Song lyrics, like all of a sudden you turn on the radio and it's just like a song you haven't heard forever, and it just immediately takes you back to a time and a place.
Yeah,
person or something.
Yeah, well,
or
it's good.
The radio changes itself. Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah,
where you're listening to one thing and all of a sudden something completely different comes through.
Yeah.
Where did that happen?
That actually happened once. It was back when I was living in Georgia, and I was in the car, and I remember that I was driving and the radio station turned to something else, and then all of a sudden it went really loud.
Yeah.
And then it just cut off. And then probably about like 5-6 letters, it came back on again like normal. And it was like, okay. But it did that a few times. So I had that happen a couple of, I like I said, I've got weird electronic stuff.
Yeah.
I'm the one where, you know, I had back then too, I remember having like this like guitar toy, right? And it would just go off by itself all the time, even though it was off. And I was like, screw this. So I took the batteries out. And then literally the next night with the batteries out, all of a sudden I hear, and I was like, oh, hell no. Goodwill. Be careful what you buy at Goodwill. You never know. Right, exactly. Oops.
Homeless ghosts. Homeless.
No, totally. Oh, my gosh.
Have you had music things happen?
The Wheeler Hotel. And there wasn't any meaning attached to it, I don't think.
We just got there and I was so tired, I went straight to bed.
Yeah.
And so we've got this thing where we always listen to the exact same music. Like years ago, I started listening to this one Yanni album that's just all piano music.
Yeah.
And if I listen to the same thing, then my head doesn't get sucked into it. Because even classical music is so busy, it's like it's a conversation. So if it's a piece that I don't know, then my head is constantly going, oh, what's happening next? Are we going high? Are we going low? You know, what's going to come in? What's the story that's happening here? So my head is constantly, so I have to listen to something that I have heard so much that the grooves are already in my head.
Right.
And I don't have to pay attention to it anymore. It's like white noise.
Yeah.
So we always listen to this one same album.
Yeah.
And so we had got into the room, and I remember I went to sleep because I was exhausted. And then the sound of the music changed for him.
Right. And to big band music.
Yeah, he started listening to 1940s big band music.
Right. So this was a digital.
That's CD really different.
On a tablet. Listening to the same thing we always listen to every night.
It's never
broke
ever
out
changed.
Into big band music. And I don't think it was like from a spirit guide. I don't think it was a message so much as the Wheeler Hotel is haunted.
Maybe there are some permanent guests. Or there. Are they? Or are they?
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
It could have been one of the residents there, one of the mm-hmm. Sprinkle residents who changed for a moment, didn't appreciate Yanni.
But big band. Think about the year from that big band music. You know, big band music was from like back in the day, and so you know that could have possibly been one of like the the permanent residents there at the Weird sure. Hotel. Like being like, hey, this is kind of, this is my jam. I don't know what you guys are listening to. That's some weird stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, once I realized what I was listening to, I listened for a little longer, and then it morphed back to Yanni again, because now I was consciously aware of it. I'm looking at it, no, Yanni is still playing. Why did I hear big band music? And
oh, wow.
That was it, but it was interesting.
That is interesting, actually. That's very interesting. I actually like what you say. No, go ahead.
For me, the music doesn't change like that, or for you. For me, it will cut off.
Mm-hmm.
It just there's like a pause that makes me turn and notice, and then all of a sudden it'll come back on. And so then in that moment, I try to take account of what's happening in that moment that the music stopped. This happened to me the other day also with the TV.
Oh, wow.
I think this is my guides because they're kind of jerks. Really aggressive, mean guide.
Maybe they just got a lot to tell you, and maybe you got to really, like, you know,
the thought in my head was, maybe I need to lose some of this COVID weight, this 2020 COVID weight. And as soon as I thought that, the TV stopped and went black, just blank, and there were thuds on the roof. And then the TV turned back on. I mean, it didn't like shut off and then reengage. Right. It just like went blank and then came back. I'm like, you guys are mean. Mean, I tell you.
Oh my gosh. You're like, thanks guys. Seriously. Appreciate that. Got the message right. Loud and clear. Didn't even have to do the thumps on the roof. Okay. I mean, it was like, thanks a lot.
I picking up exactly what you're putting down. So actually, this happened.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
This happened another time a couple years ago. I had decided to start my very first tarot journal.
Yeah.
And I had just bought the notebooks that I was going to use, and I'm sitting there in the car trying to think of what I'm going to title my tarot journal.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason had run into the store, and I'm just sitting there listening to the music, and all of a sudden the music stopped, and I looked up at the radio trying to figure out if it went off, and it said 2:22. I thought, oh, okay, so that's what I wrote on the front of my journal. It's titled 2:22, and then I looked it up, and it was, I don't remember anymore. It was about transformation and starting a new journey or something like that. And it was very fitting. I was like, that's interesting. So
that's really neat. Stop
and take note of the things that you're thinking of, mm-hmm. the things that are happening around you when those weird moments happen, things that are playing on the TV or the radio, conversations that are happening, where you're at so that you can put together the clues of what it is that they're trying to tell you. They do talk in symbols. You know, some people get that whole information download where they just know all the words, kind of like that telepathic information. But for most people and even most things, messages from your spirit are coming in symbols of some sort. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you got to learn how to put together that puzzle.
Right.
But makes in sense. Putting together the puzzle, you're creating the conversation. You're creating the building blocks, the alphabet, so that you can have better dialogue with your spirit guides later on.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger conversations, more in-depth things.
I think another thing to think about is actually the emotion you're feeling at the time too. I've noticed that, like, sometimes, like, what is this emotion I'm feeling? Because sometimes it might be, you know, like kind of like a bigger emotional moment, and all of a sudden you like might have one of those things happen, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. I'm gonna take note of this even. You know,
absolutely. I think emotions, you know, that's a whole vibrational pattern too. Mm-hmm. So that opens gateways and conversations as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So moving on past music, there's also feathers in general, but white feather. I keep hearing recently over and over white feathers. I don't find white feathers. I have found several black feathers.
Yeah.
Ravenclaw.
But
yeah, that's right. Ravenclaw.
But if you're asking for a sign or symbol from somebody and you ask for something specific, you know, like pink butterflies or white feathers,
right,
and then you actually start finding those things, you know, it's not just a coincidence anymore.
Right. Like money too, like the coins and stuff, like,
you know. Right. Yeah, some people get the money. There's a whole term for it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? My dad used to have dimes. It was like dimes everywhere. It was like crazy, you know? Yeah. I've never had the money. I'd like the money. So
right? One dime or quarter at a time.
$100 bills. I mean, I won't complain.
Benjamin's from heaven.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
This is who I want to speak to my spirit guide. If you can hear me.
Just $100 bills. Benjamin.
Make it rain.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, don't make
a deluge.
Right. All right, watch one of us find like $100 bill in the next month.
Ooh,
that'd be interesting.
Anybody who's watching is gonna have to report back too.
That's right. Yeah, everybody watching, if you get $100 bill in the next month, let us know.
randomly, not just
that's right, it's not opening your wallet and being like,
give me $100.
I got paid
yeah, I got $100. Exactly.
Some other people also see lights when it's their guides. And it was interesting because I hadn't even necessarily heard of that one before, but we were literally driving home the other day and I'm just looking out the window and there was this big flash of light directly overhead, but it was all completely gray out. And I thought, okay, that's weird. I'm imagining something or something there. But then I came home and I was kind of doing some research for this, and one of the very first things that popped up randomly was that people see flashes of light.
Wow.
I thought, sure, that's an interesting coincidence. Is that a coincidence? Was that a communication? Yeah. Making it up? It seemed completely real because as I saw it in my peripheral vision, it was so bright. When I focused on it, there was absolutely nothing there that could have created that.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
You derive meaning from it, mm-hmm. or you get some kind of message from it, and it's just as valid if it was is something physically caused the light, because mm-hmm. you saw that and then you read what you read mm-hmm. and you made a connection. So mm-hmm. either maybe it made the material more alive for you, I don't know, or it was saying something else. But mm-hmm. just because you know what caused it doesn't mean it's not significant.
Right. That's so true.
Some people describe it as like a little flash of light. Other people see like a blue light, like a almost like an orb, or just like a blue light that comes and fades back out. You know, not anything that's like flying around or moving around.
Right, right.
In the corner, a blue light, and then it just disappears.
Wow, that's really fascinating.
Yeah, there's actually a ton of ways that people are able to connect with their guides. They just don't really realize that all these weird things are happening. Maybe that's where this information is coming from.
Right. Now, was yours more of a flash that you saw?
Yeah, mine was just like a burst of light. Wow. Right. I was looking across a field, and in the sky directly above this just big field, and it was a completely clouded, overcast day just the other day.
Yeah. And oh, yeah.
Bright flash of light so Jason suggested at first that it could have been lightning, which I had to stop and think about what I saw and try to pinpoint it. And I've seen lightning flash on the backside of clouds before, and it usually kind of moves a little bit,
right?
Like being instead of being a spot. So I can't say that it wasn't that.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like you said, we can always explain it, you know. I feel like maybe what's that feeling you get? I feel like maybe also there's a feeling that comes with when these things happen to you. And I think if like, you know, basically if like you see that flash, it's kind of like, you know, like you're immediately not thinking lightning, you know.
No.
So maybe there's a meaning there for you, you know, even if it was lightning per se, like maybe that was still a moment that you needed to like take note of.
Ancient mystics used to see signs and everything, signs and omens and everything. That was their job, mm-hmm. to watch all of those signs and omens.
Right.
And although they could be explained, like they saw fox and that was an omen, it could be mm-hmm. explained, yeah, fox, there's foxes, okay? But he saw it at a particular moment, or it meant something to him, and he translated that to his people. And that's kind mm-hmm. of what spirit guides are doing with us. They're sending us some symbols to try to help us in a certain area of our lives, or be there for us, or guide us in a certain way. Yep. So,
if they could send me like Taco Bell, it might make a lot more sense.
$100 bills and Taco Bell.
Yes, $100 bills and Taco Bell.
We need to update their symbology. Yeah,
symbology's outdated.
Sounds good to me.
Flash a couple giant emojis on the sky or something. I might like, oh, right? Now I get it.
Exactly. Exactly. It is very interesting, though. I mean, the light thing, I've heard people talk about different lights and stuff before, but I haven't really put that all together. So that is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Is there anything else on the list?
I'm got a couple of ways to sort of sit and meet up with your guides. So trying to connect with your spirit guides. So not just that they're sending you messages through all these synchronicities and numbers and noises and sounds and smells and light flashes and whatnot, but
yeah.
When you're attempting to connect in the other direction, if you're just automatic writing.
So yeah.
So sitting in meditation and sort of letting go of all your thoughts so that you can heighten your senses and allow messages in. But one of the next steps for some people is just let a pen on a piece of paper and just let it start going. And mm-hmm. maybe you start writing something and then pretty soon you've let a whole novel happen.
Yeah.
And you go back and you're like, oh, I don't even remember writing most any of that, or typing. Some people do it by typing things out. It's faster for some people these days, but automatic writing is one way of sort of connecting with your guides and allowing them to talk to you through your own self, really.
Right, exactly.
So sitting in meditation, feeling energies and presences around you, feeling tingling and warmth through your body, doing some breathing exercises, like mm-hmm. 3 deep breaths in to help change your your own brain waves and allow yourself to relax into a more receptive state.
Right.
So that tingling, audible sounds, the inner knowing, writing in a journal, asking for a sign, seeing things. Hang on a minute. I'm kind of scattered around here. Talk amongst yourselves.
That's okay. I'll talk about automatic writing. So, I did automatic writing once, and I remember it was interesting because it went so fast. I had like a notebook, and it was just like coming. And I remember like I was just writing kind of like so fast, like my handwriting could barely understand it. It just kept going. I mean, it's faster than I've ever written in my entire life. And I mean, it was pretty powerful stuff. I do have it somewhere still. I mean, it was, I think sometime last year, maybe earlier this year, again, like I said, it all runs together at this point.
It's been a long year.
And, I think it was this year, actually. I want to say it was this year, earlier this year. And I'll have to find it. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. But
did any of it make sense to you afterwards? Could you even decipher what it said?
I could. There were some parts that was like a little bit interesting. Like I just couldn't, I could decipher it all. It was just like some parts was kind of like, okay, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty deep, actually. And it was definitely meaningful to me. And so I found it to be very interesting. So, but some of it, like, I mean, I did have to kind of piece it together. I mean, it was legible, so I could actually kind of like read my writing, even though it was pretty sloppy. I mean, it's going so fast. But the one thing I just remember is just how fast it was coming, and it was coming so fast at such a speed that my brain, I mean, I think quickly as it is, but it's not how I write. I write a little bit slower. I was like, I'm thinking about what I'm writing, and this was just like, brrr, like I was just like, I mean, it was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. And I've only done that once, you know, but it's like, I took that moment to say like, okay, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to see if this works and this happens. And it did. And then I haven't done it since for some reason.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. It was like, my arm hurts. I have to recover.
This is no routine.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, sir, yeah. Guys, I'm going to set out a recorder. Just say whatever.
Exactly. I want to ask questions, though. That's one thing I've never done. It's like, it would be interesting to just like, you know, ask the questions and then just see like, what the answers would be and stuff like that. Like, absolutely. This was just a message. It was more like just a message. Instead of having like a download go to your head, it was like a download kind of just coming out of my hand, you know, pretty much in the writing. But I think it would be interesting just to, like, have the questions, you know, and just see like what happens. Yeah, I do need to try. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
So that's one of the visualization techniques I'm kind of seeing here. Not necessarily doing the whole automatic writing thing, but, and you guys have talked about this before as ways to meet up with and talk to your spirit guides. You create your sacred space and then you you relax and do a little bit of meditation and visualize and actually imagine a giant TV screen in front of you so that it's something that your mind can connect to. It, you know, so many people have TVs, it's just normal. So then you watch the TV for images. And this was one of the meditation or connection techniques people were suggesting as a way to figure out your spirit guide's names if you were looking for a specific name, is to visualize the TV screen and then whatever flashes across it, just go with that. Don't doubt it. Just allow that to happen and allow whatever name it is to just be the name, because whatever names they have may not be a name that we're ever going to be able to pronounce or even absorb into our head. So if they want to call themselves Joe, maybe that's what it is. And they're okay with you calling them that. But your technique with the writing, if you're asking questions, I'm thinking that a meditation technique where you envision a big screen or, you know, the TV and ask a question and see if you can get visuals that way.
I love that idea. I've never tried that. That sounds awesome. I definitely want to try that.
A second way of coming up with a guide's name, and I'm thinking it might actually work for if you have a question as well, is doing the same sort of thing, creating your sacred space, sitting down, do a little bit of meditation, and then visualize a book rather than a TV. You have a book, and it's just like the sacred book, and as you open it up, whatever is across the first page is your answer. The name that you're looking for, or potentially the answer to a question if you're looking for something specific. It would probably have to be a very short, quick answer, something one word. Also, of course, the most obvious one that we haven't even touched on for trying to communicate with your spirit guides is tarot cards and oracle cards.
Right.
Runes.
You can go on Etsy or Pinterest and find out dozens of spreads on how to connect to your spirit guides.
Right.
Who your spirit guides are. Mm-hmm. I divined the name of one of my spirit guides through the cards.
That was 2 years.
So there's plenty of stuff out there to show you different spreads, depending on exactly what you want to know. Do you want to know their names? Do you want to know why they're here? And do you want to know what they can do for you? What areas would my spirit guides tell me that I need to work on the most?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There's
right.
You can look up just like YouTube or Pinterest or those two are really good places to find stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Names. I only have my Gandalf. I don't have names like, you know, of now, course, Gandalf, Jesus is the ascended master.
Like, so Gandalf probably just like me is more of just the archetype that,
right.
He fits the name. It's not actually Gandalf from
the No,
it's not Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. The energy of the wise man.
Exactly. It really
that,
is.
That archetype.
Like you said, like the Dumbledore or the Gandalf, just like that.
If it's not gone on, you're fine.
That's why you got to interview your spirit guides.
That's right. You do. Oh yeah, exactly.
Like my little guy, and then he goes full dark.
He does go full dark. That is why you have to interview them. That's so true. Oh my gosh. Seriously.
And I'm not saying the dark is bad because it's balanced, but
right.
Just, you know, I think like in all things, for moderation.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. Well, cool.
I think I've officially run out of all my suggestions.
Yeah, I was actually going to say it's a good time probably right now for I'll just say, are there any questions for our viewers? This is your time. If you want to, we'll do like a really, really quick.
11:11. We're so close.
Oh, I know, right? If anyone's got any questions for us, this is the time to go ahead and ask. That'll be good. And then after that, we can wrap it up maybe just with some, like, you know, closing thoughts or anything.
I see Cheyenne's calling you out. She said she thought your shark was from Vegas.
Maybe. When I saw that, I was thinking of it, but I don't know where I bought it.
The
shark reef tank. She's yeah. right. That is where
oh,
I go.
Oh, wow. All
right, Cheyenne. Good job.
That's awesome.
Whoops.
Yeah, I'm not seeing too many comments yet. I guess we could go ahead and do our closing thoughts, and then if a question comes in, we can go ahead and tackle it.
So, you know, spirit guides are, I don't feel like I have a whole lot. I could probably ask for more and specifically really do some work with them more than I actually do. But I feel pretty comfortable with the couple that I have, and anytime I do connect with them, they're pretty aggressive and mean at me. They're like, come on, you already asked this question and we're not talking about this anymore, so you're not listening. So I don't think I need more, because some of the work is on me, and
right.
I have to pick up, you know, while they're waiting. So
yeah.
But there are many, many, many options, many different ways to connect. And, you know, I think a huge part of it is just starting to realize that it's a thing and starting to pay attention to it. And even maybe keeping a little notebook so that as these weird things happen, these anomaly moments happen, these moments where you're like, wow, I kind of need to pay attention to that. You know, just keep an ongoing little notebook so that you can follow it and see if you can put together the clues and the trails and see where it's taking you.
No, definitely. I agree with that. Yeah, sometimes they might tell us things maybe we don't even want to hear, so they gotta poke us. Listen up. No.
Probably all that head tapping I get.
It could be.
What about you?
I'm trying to think of a name of it. It's not The Magic of Thinking Big. But it's a book like that. It's Napoleon Hill.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And what was his big book? Let's see. Has a lot of books. Okay, I'll look it up.
Everybody's all tippity-tapping.
Is it something about magic? It's not Think and Grow Rich. I have that one.
Oh, it is Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, okay. I have that. Yeah, I have that book. Yeah, totally.
So in his book, Think and Grow Rich, there's something called the mastermind group or the something like that, the mastermind group. And what you do is you're in a boardroom, and the people around you are the people you choose to be on your group. Okay, now you could do this physically and do it with real people, but I choose to do it with spirit guides. So I'm sitting in my sacred space, and I'm sitting at the head of this table. And the energies that I need to be present, I always have Gandalf there. I always have Eleanor and Talia. The rest of them come and go, depending on my needs. And so maybe I ask my ancestors something. Or maybe I ask the male energy or the female energy or a particular, like the Dalai Lama. You could take someone living and use them as a spirit guide, because it's not, you're not taking that person, you're taking the energy that person represents.
Right.
And so if you have a spiritual problem, pick a spiritual guide. If you have a strategic problem, pick someone that was really good at strategy, you know, things like that. So you can build your team and shift people in and out. Like you said, there's going to be people or guides that stay with you always.
Right.
But then you're going to have guides coming in and out all the time. Sometimes because you're attracting that energy because you need it. Other times because your spirit guides know you need it. So somebody out of the blue shows up.
Yeah.
One thought on living people is that you could perhaps connect with their higher selves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. We've definitely done that. Yeah, that's a really great tool.
That's going to be very useful for you to get through things, to comfort you in times that you need comfort, to give you wisdom in times you need wisdom. So there's a lot of reasons to meet and learn who your spirit guides are and how to communicate with them.
Right. Oh, definitely. That's good stuff. Yeah, I think for me, I think I would probably just reiterate as far as, like, again, just like that protection thing. I'm always big on protection and stuff like that. So making sure that you ask those interview questions to your spirit guide and making sure they're here for your, you know, the highest, greatest good and everything else for you, for humanity, you know. Yeah, so I think that's probably just something I'd reiterate there. And just remember, you know, it's like, you know, you do have to come to a place of where you can find that almost silence within yourself to be able to listen. And, you know, they will guide you. And, you know, it's like they're, when you do find the ones that are there for your highest, greatest good, like they're trying to lead you down the right path, and they're trying to, you know, they don't want to harm you. They're wanting good for your life and stuff like that. And so it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's like, to me, like your spirit guides, I feel like are part of your spiritual family, you know?
Yeah.
So right. They're part of your spiritual tribe, you know? And so, like, that's, they're on your side. They're there for you.
Nice. And it is 11:11.
Hey.
Oh. Woo! 11:11. Awesome. On Friday the 13th. I love it. That's terrific. Awesome. All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, it was fun talking to you.
Yes, it was so great talking to you, too.
It turns out we have a podcast and we should do this more.
I know, right? Like, oh, wow. Like, we have this podcast. What?
Wow.
This is great. It's been too long. We had this huge hiatus, and it just feels so good. It's just natural just to be right back with you guys and chatting it up and talking about some pretty amazing, fabulous topics. So,
and send your love to Amy, and we'll talk to you soon.
For sure. All right. And thank you to all of our Facebook viewers. Thank you so much for participating and being amazing.
And the people out there listening to the podcast when it comes out on the podcast.
Yep. That's right. And you people. We're fabulous.